It's the second time this morning I managed to. So, baby steps in growing. So, what's on my heart is, the Lord came and just spoke to me many times about this word of belonging. Okay? So, I want to share, and it's going to be like I'm going to share today a bit on that, and then next week I'm going to continue to share on belonging. And today, so the if there's a title, I often don't have titles, but if there's a title, the preacher's How to Belong. And in today, I want to speak about what does it mean to belong? Okay, first of all, to Jesus, and then what does it mean that we belong to one another? And then next week, I'm going to look at how does that practically look like? Next week's going to be very practical. What does the Bible say? What should be the outflow? What should be the overflow from the place of belonging to Jesus? Okay, so it's going to be very... So don't miss next week. It's really going to be a practical thing of... But we need to live out what the Bible says. We need to be like... And I want to say this every week. James 1, I love it when James 1 says that don't be like those who only hear God's word, but we should be people that do God's word. We should be doers, you know? So, because whenever God does something in our hearts, like if He does something in our hearts, there should be something that we feel like, I want to apply, I want to go do. It's like if there's a revelation or understanding or a moment of God's grace and love for me, something in my heart should be like, I want to live that out. And then the Lord shows us. It's like, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And just like that, to love your neighbor, love one another. You know, it's like, I'm always reminded of the scripture again. It's often so practical, even in the scripture where Jesus said that even if you only give a cup of water to one of those who belong to me, it's as if we have given it to Jesus himself. So he gives us tools and ways that we can love him in the way we love one another. And I think it's just been a theme constantly for us this year, and I'm hoping for the rest of our life, because we know that we like if something is done not from a place of love, it's in vanity. And my heart for every single person here is that one day when we stand before Jesus, there will be so many things that the Lord will look at us and say, that was from love, that was from love, that was from love. Won't that be something beautiful? To hear the voice of the Lord saying to us the words, well done, my good and faithful servant. So it's really my heart that we will not just fall into that trap. So as I start, I wanna share a secret about me today that nobody knows. My wife is in the mom's room, so I'm not sure how the expression on her face is at this moment, because it's something that my wife doesn't even know about. Here's the secret. I know all of you are going to be very shocked what I'm going to say now, but something, a fun fact about myself is that I like to play golf in my free time. They're laughing because they're like, no, it's impossible. It can't be. No, it's true. I actually like to play golf in my free time. I'm not joking. No, I'm just, they're joking. They're laughing because I think anyone who knows me more than a couple of weeks will know whenever I want to rest and just get out and be in nature and spend time outdoors, and just, it's really something I love to do. And unfortunately, time and money is not always on our side. But anyway, it's something I love to do. I love to go and play golf. So I want to like paint a picture for us just from, I don't know, the Lord just, he speaks in interesting ways. So I'm trusting, like, as I paint a picture for us, it will help us. I don't know, it's beautiful, like, picture for me how God uses parables and pictures often to help us remember. So I'm trusting even this picture will help us to remember more, as I want to make a very important point for us. So something very interesting about golf is, it's one of the sports, I'm sure, I'm being serious now, like it's one of those sports where it's the most exclusive clubs sometimes in the world. Like certain golf courses or golf clubs around the world, it's very exclusive and very private, okay? There's public courses. We've got a public course, but there's many places where it's this, you know, this very exclusive thing. And to belong to some of those clubs, it's sometimes either very difficult or it's sometimes even impossible for certain people, you know? Because a lot of those courses, you can only belong to some of them when you're either very, very, very wealthy, or maybe you, from the world's perspective, very important or famous, okay? Then you get into that clubs. I've got two examples. I think anyone who've watched golf a little bit, there's a tournament they call the Masters. It's the biggest major of the year in sport, in Augusta National in America, and then it's like the biggest tournament of the year where the best of the best all compete. And for example, to become a member there, they've got only 300 members, okay, at the club. And, you know, it's one of the most well-known courses in the world. And to become a member there, it's you either have to be, it's almost impossible, but one of the ways you have to win the Masters. It's like I literally have to be the best in the world to qualify to become a member there. Okay, quite interesting. And then I did some even more research for me because I was like, this is probably the most exclusive there can be. And then I found, no, there's many courses that's taking that step even a bit further in their pride to belong there. You know, to be a member, to belong to that course. For example, there's a course in Yemasi. I'm not sure where that is. It sounds Chinese. Maybe it's American. I don't know. But it's the Cherokee Plantation course, okay? They have less than 24 members, okay? Less than 24 members. And their yearly membership fees are around 18 million rand per year to become a member there. And I read that even if you are a billionaire, you still have to apply and they will even say no to you. Okay? They will even say, sorry, to belong here, it's only some of us. It's crazy, eh? It's really crazy. And I want to use that picture as that's the picture, that's not God's picture of belonging. Okay? That's often a worldly, that's a corrupted belonging. Does that make sense? Okay, so I'm just painting that's not good. Okay, and I do want to ask this question, and I'm sure it's a rhetorical question, actually. The question is, do you agree that all of us, and I'm sure every person out there's something in our hearts that we have a desire to belong somewhere? Okay, I'm sure all of us, I'm like, I really want to feel I belong somewhere. And something beautiful in that is that that's a desire that the Lord has placed on our hearts, okay? So we want to belong. And I'm going to look a bit at my own life also now as a couple examples. But often where we find belonging, or where we give ourselves to belong, or maybe try to find belonging, is where we feel, this is very important, where we feel or think there's purpose for us to belong there. Okay? Purpose and belonging goes hand in hand. Does that make sense? Is this like, there's going to be purpose for me to belong there? Okay, let me just like explain a bit. Like, often if I belong somewhere and I can contribute in a way or get something or whatever, like I belong, It's where we feel we find meaning. Often we feel accepted there. There's a feeling of I feel accepted. Often we feel loved there. Sometimes it's a place where we feel I fit in. It's like I feel I fit in. And it's also where we feel a part of something. It's like I'm part of something bigger than myself. Does it make sense? The problem is anything outside of God's way and outside of God's will, and when it's not from Him, it will always give us a temporary, a short while, or even a false sense of purpose. That's interesting. Because I can belong to a golf club, and all of those things will be a reality for me when I belong there. Okay? But if it's not God's way or God's will, it's either temporary, in other words, it's meaningless, it's vanity, or it's false. It's like I'm eating a candy bar or ice cream and I'm feeling good now, but afterwards I may not feel that well. Does that make sense? Okay, so that's very important. And I don't know, for some reason the Lord just gave me this quote. Listen, this is so good. Chuck Colson said this: knowing that we are fulfilling God's purpose is the only thing that really gives rest to the restless human heart. Well, that's beautiful. Right? That's so true. Knowing that we are fulfilling God's purpose, not my purpose. I often love to just use the words when we speak about my calling. Have you heard that? Like, my calling. And I think that's not a bad way, but I think often through Western culture or even a consumerism mindset or even just a brokenness or selfishness, the way they put it, like my calling, it can almost feels like, it's not on purpose, but it can feels like it's so self-centered, my calling. It's like the focus is on me, my calling. I love to rather word it as not my calling, but God's calling or the calling of God on your life. There's a difference in the calling that God has placed on your life and my calling. Because the context of God's word, it's not singular. It's plural. It's us. It's body. It's a working together. It's a kingdom. You know, it's not me, myself, and I and God. I'll add God to this, but it's ultimately the selfish thing creeps in so easily. So belonging, it's not just, it's more than that. Okay, and I want to say the purpose to belong and the feeling to belong is the way God created us. And it's really beautiful, actually. It's so beautiful. Proverbs 16 verse 1 to 4 says this: To humans belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. All a person's way seems pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish your plans. The Lord works out everything to its proper end, even the wicked for a day of disaster. Okay, the next scripture, I'm going to pull it all now together, is in Galatians 1, verse 27. It says this: the Lord works out everything to its proper end, even the wicked for a day of disaster. No, sorry, this is...
Yeah. Galatians 1,
really? Let me quickly go there. Okay, and now please go to, Psalm 100, verse 3. That's fine. So, okay. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us. It is God who made us, and we are His. Okay, we already sing. The other scriptures is just emphasizing also this, where it says, we are God's people. We belong to Him. He created us. We were created in His image. We belong to Him because He made us. He formed us. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. The other two scriptures was just also saying that in a different way. But the point is, the Bible clearly tells us, and there's many scriptures, that we belong to Him. There's for us, He's called us to belong to Him. And like I mentioned, the picture is not this exclusive thing of this fancy golf clubs. So my question I have for us today is, so where are we currently truly finding our belonging? Where each one of us, if we have to reflect on our life, are we fully in a place? And it's okay if we're not at the moment. But I'm trusting that the Lord will help us. So are we finding our belonging fully in the way that God has called us, fully in Him? And I want to just quickly mention that as I reflect back even on my own life, I can keep us busy for many hours, I won't, but I can keep us busy for many hours on many examples or on where I pursued things and tried to find purpose and belonging, not in God's way and in God's will. So I'm just going to give us a couple examples. So the first one is, this was maybe the main thing for in my life, is one of the things I tried to belong was through, and it looked in different ways, was through the place of performance, okay? To perform, I felt belonging. And I want to just give one or two testimonies about that. So I went to a high school where rugby was quite a big thing, a very, very big thing. And then I came from quite a small primary school, for those who don't know, in Kroonstad. And we were about 30 boys. And I went into high school and there was 250 boys. So in primary school, you know, it was almost a sense of, to be first team in, like, first rugby team, first cricket team and captain, it wasn't that big a deal, you know. There wasn't like a lot of competition, and I was head boy of the school and the hostel. And when I got to that school, I was like, you know, I'm not that bad, you know. I can perform, I did well. I was first team in all the sports, I was captain of most of them, I was head boy, and academic, I was at least top 10. Wasn't my strongest point, but I was at least top 10. And then I got there, and I remember the meeting we had with all of them before school even started, like the orientation week. They're like, okay, guys, everyone who was head boy in the school, stand up. And there were like more than 30, honestly, more than 30 people, stand up. And I was like, that's more people that in my year, like in my year group, you know. And they're like, okay, who played Craven Week rugby? There were 24 people that stood up. Okay, in our grade. And I'm like, okay, wow, this is a bit different than I expected. And then we went through trials, and I started in the C team. So suddenly there was like something that I don't really feel I belong and fit in as I used to, because when you're young and you're good, well, quite good in stuff, it's easy to feel I'm explaining the false. You know, I felt I belong because I was part of all the good teams, and I belong because I was part of this, and I belong because, you know, primary school people are easy your friends when you perform. You know, it's just unfortunately how it happens. It's just the time of your life. So suddenly now in high school, belonging started to shake and shatter. I started to struggle with friendships. I battled to find good friends. I was in this journey with the Lord and trying to find belonging, but it was just chaos, okay? So yeah, something interesting that happened under 16. So the problem is, what the enemy does is he told me, okay, but Futa, if you work harder, if you perform even better, then you will find belonging. Okay? So now I'm like, okay, I'm going to work hard, and I worked hard, and I worked hard, and I gave everything. And every single year, like a bit better team, a bit better team, a bit better. And under 16, I was in the B team and also part of the Free State B team rugby. And for those of you who know me now, I quite enjoy to like have conversations and speak. And I'm not someone who, I like talking. It's just, I really enjoy it now. But it's interesting when I look back at my life, then we went to Vereniging on this Free State under 16 academic week of rugby. And what the coaches did, it's so crazy how the enemy comes and he tries to kill, steal and destroy. Because even now, I know the Lord has called me to, you know, to lead here and to speak. It's one of the things God really uses. I'm still growing, and I'm very, very, very far from being perfect. And I don't always communicate well, but it is something that the Lord used. But it's so interesting. So as I went through that journey and struggling to find belonging under 16, after the week they made a DVD with all the players, a picture from the tour, and then they had a description from their perspective to summarize you as a person. Okay? I'm not sure if that's helpful, by the way. But it was like number one, the naughty one. The number two, the one who always makes jokes. Some of them were nice and friendly or whatever, but when it came to my name, it says the quiet one. You know, it said the quiet one, because I struggled so much to find my worth and belonging, even though it was my highest achievement yet in my life, like in sport at that point. I felt so broken and so not that I don't belong and so worthless that I just didn't say anything, to be honest. I was like, I'm not going to say anything because it's not going to mean anything. And but I was so deceived. I'm like, okay, but next year, maybe when I'm 18, now I will belong somewhere. And now people will want to listen when you have something to say. Because whenever I said something, they're like, I just felt like it was worthless, to be honest. Does it make sense what I'm saying? A false sense of if you belong to perform. I'm really hoping that helps. Like, man, don't fall into that trap. That's the point I want to make. Performance will not earn you true belonging. That's not where we'll find it. And it can be in any, I use sport, but it can be in anything in your life. The second one, I'm going to explain a bit. The other, I'm just going to quickly point. The second one, I'm just going to mention this. The second big thing for me was relationships. Like with me and Angelique, it was one of our vulnerabilities. We had such a brokenness in whenever I felt I had a girlfriend, now I belong. I had this false sense of, I feel better. You know, because in that relationship, I will give my everything and I'll try to be the best boyfriend. And you will hear one of my biggest love languages is words. It's like quality time and words, it's up there. So when we spend quality time together and whenever I do something for my girlfriend at that time and she would say, oh, you are so nice. Thank you so much. You are such a great guy. What happens? I start to find my worth and my belonging and my purpose in that. And once again, it was not rooted in God. It was not, I didn't belong. The primary thing, and I'm not saying that's bad things. But the source, the core of it all, was like, that's where I am giving myself. That's where I am going for it, to find belonging. And unfortunately, once again, either false or either temporary. Okay, and then the next one is, I'm just going to mention this, it can be in our work, you know, often in our work or occupation. Finances, massive thing. If you read the Bible, it's crazy, you know, our finances can pull us in. Where the Bible says, where our heart will be, our treasure will be. Don't let something of this world draw you in, that your heart will be set on thinking you will belong better in any way by making more money. I'm not saying it's bad to have a lot of money or to earn a good salary. That's not what I'm saying. But if our heart's desire is, that's where I'm going to find my belonging. Our kids. I know most of you are young, so maybe that's more for myself. And I'm not sure if there's anyone else with kids here today, but keep it in mind for when you have kids. Our friendships. Just our normal friendships, you know, to fit into the crowd. My friends, and then even sin, okay. And I remember that was a battle at varsity in a Mayo residence. If you went to study and you were in residence, that was difficult. That was so, so difficult. And I want to give an example of that in Galatians 2, verse 11 to 14. We know the story so well. When Cephas, it's Peter, you know, that shared the gospel of the Pentecost. Okay, when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him, Paul is speaking here, to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. So what he's doing is like, before the Jews came, he's with the Gentiles. Peter being a Jew, you know, by culture and coming out of that place, being saved into, you know, for us in the new covenant. He's like, I'm here and then. But when they arrived, the Jews, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in front of them all, "You are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs?" What I love about the Bible, there's so many messages you can take from different passages. Like in that, there's a couple of preachers just even that. But something I've never even seen in that is like, maybe there was something of like, hey, I'm saved. I know I'm not like bound in a, like I'm still under the law how it used to be before Jesus came and died for us. In like belonging part of the Jews now, like he knows his freedom and he was living and spending, you know, in his freedom in God time among the Gentiles, okay, where they didn't. But when the Jews came, so obviously he's like, hey, I can belong to the Jews and the Gentiles. You know, it was unlawful. It was like I'm not sure what the punishment would have been, but like if you had to before Jesus. If you had to mix with the Gentiles, I'm sure it would be either stoned or death or at least something very ethic, okay? So just take that into consideration. Now suddenly it's like, hey, I can also belong to this group, the Gentiles. And you know, and I'm using the example of sin. And to be a hypocrite, obviously, it's sinful. You know, because he was scared or whatever that reason was, and then when the Jews came, he's like, oh shucks, I don't want to see them, that I can also belong to here. And I'm like, now I'm being a hypocrite and now I'm moving to the side of the Jews. Okay, so there can be so many examples of that, but may we not fall into that space, like, and even how can that be for us, like, that's Jews, Gentiles, but even for us in church, I'm trusting that we will not be hypocrites, that we will not have a heart where favoritism. You know, James also warns us against favoritism. That if we say we belong to Jesus, I'm going to get to the scripture that also says now we belong to one another. That we won't be like Peter in that moment. We say, no, it's just us four no more. But our hearts will be in a place of saying, Lord, because I belong to you and because we belong to one another, that I will also give myself. So, and I want to start go from that place to share a bit like how does it ties up with baptism. And this scripture was so beautiful for me with that. Romans 14 verse 8 says this. If we live for the Lord. If we die for the Lord. So, whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. And isn't that the exact same picture that the baptism symbolizes today? Like, as Luray is going to go into the water, like fully submerged, it's a picture that my old life, my sinful nature, before I met Jesus, is staying behind. It's like I'm going into the water. I'm dying with Christ and I'm being raised by Christ. I'm dying with Jesus and I'm being raised to a new life in Jesus. That's such a beautiful picture. And it says there, can you just put it up again? And it says there in the end, we belong to the Lord. And it's when I read that, I'm like, Lord, that's such a beautiful picture of like, even for this beautiful moment. And then I'm not going to go in too much detail on this, but I even, you know, was thinking with Daniel, my son. I mean, like, to be for him to belong to me as my son, it's once again that beautiful picture, the same way as we belong to God. Nothing that Daniel does or nothing that he doesn't do will ever come and steal or take a place in my heart that I will, like, he doesn't belong to me. For me, I'm like, I don't care whatever he will get up to. I love him so much. You know, and that's from me being a sinner far from perfect. So how much more? You know, like, I can't tell you how much I feel like when I was sometimes with Daniel. I'm like, oh, I can't believe he belongs to me. It's like, oh, Lord, it's such a blessing. Not always 3 a.m. when he's awake and crying, but there's many times, honestly, where I'm like, Lord, this is such a blessing that to know this is my son and he belongs to me. And nothing he can do will ever change that. And then God says, but even God, how much more in God being the perfect Father? The perfect Father. We're not perfect. I'm not perfect. How much more is with Him being a perfect Father, can we think that in what we do or don't do, our mistakes, our performance, our sin, whatever, can disqualify us from belonging to Him? You know, He's given us this beautiful gift of repentance and making sure our hearts stay to Him, like going to Him, and that we repent and turn away. So I do want to encourage us this morning, if there's a sense, the slightest sense in your heart, like, I'm not sure if I fully belong to God. I do want to say it's not up to your feelings. It's not up to what you've done. It's not up to what you feel or don't feel. God says, I am a God who's bigger than your feelings. I am a God who surpasses your understanding, anything that you can think, comprehend, imagine, or understand. So don't give the enemy the foothold where he will come and steal something, the way you live. Because if we are honest, if we are in a space where we know that I know that I know I belong to the perfect God, the perfect Father, it will, our lives will look different the way we live. Isn't that true, eh? Whenever I didn't feel like that, I was still grabbing and looking to all of those things. But as I went on this journey, and I want to say it's okay that it's a journey. It's not a on and off switch. Okay? Even if we've got breakthrough, there will be times maybe where the enemy comes. But don't stop pursuing. Do not stop making it a mission in your heart to know how much God loves you. And that you belong to Him. And that He cares about you. Because it's not because of you. It's because of who He is. And because of who He is, we find our value and identity. It does make sense. It's not first because of who I am, but it's because of who He is and what He's done. We become a son and a daughter, and we belong to Him. 5 more minutes, then I'm done. So, 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says this. Just to emphasize what I've just said at this moment. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. Okay, you've been bought at a price. 2 Corinthians 1:21-22, you've got that. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know Him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom. Yes, I'm not sure I messed up my verses. So it's 2 Corinthians. Yeah, I apologize if I gave the wrong one. You don't have to go there. It's the scripture where it says He's placed a seal of ownership on us. That's beautiful. Okay, now it's God who makes both of us, and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set His seal of ownership on us, and put His Spirit on our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Guaranteeing what is to come. What's to come is that we as sons and daughters will be able to spend eternity with God as His sons and daughters. How beautiful is that? It's like the seal where He says, I stamp you, you belong to me. Imagine, that's so beautiful that the Lord said, I placed a seal of ownership on us. We belong to Him. Yeah, and I want to use this quote. So in that school, you know, it wasn't always good for my performance-driven, broken background. But something that was great, I was in the headmaster's office once or twice. Luckily, only once from not being an obedient, disciplined student. Only once, a couple of times for other reasons. But he had something, you know, in all of that. He had a page there on his, next to his office desk that caught my eye, that I will never forget. Something beautiful. And it said there, I know I am somebody Because God do not make no junk. How beautiful is that, though? And I wanna confirm this and land this with a scripture. I'm not sure if I gave it to you. Okay, Psalm 68, verse 4 to 6. Okay, so I'm trusting as I share that now that there will be something in our hearts like, Lord, thank you that I belong to you. And I just want to, for a minute, share. But the Bible does not only say that we belong to God, it also says we belong to one another. And I'll go more into that next week, but I just want to like highlight that for us quickly. Sing to God, singing praises of His name, extol Him who rides on the clouds, rejoice before Him, His name is the Lord. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in His holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He sets the lonely to belong in families. He leads, and it's speaking about a spiritual family there. That's the context. It's like we were in the world, but He adds us into families. He leads out the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. And then Romans 12 verse 5, we know this, and I'm going to go more into this practically next week. So in Christ, we though many form one body, and each member belong to the others. There's a belonging to the others. Okay, now, and I do want to say this before we go officially into the response, that honestly, I think if I have to look back, besides the Lord supernaturally, honestly, coming to speak to me and Anjelika and telling us we need to plant the church in Berkeley, I'm like, if I have to be honest, I think the thing that the Lord did in my heart the most, maybe if I have to single something out, what did the Lord do in the previous, like before we came here, the 3-4 years before that, before we planted, what did God do in my heart in order that there will be something where God now comes and speaks to say, go and plant the church? Because obviously he first have to do something in your life and heart. He will not, there's like, we all call, but there's a thing of, we need to be equipped or, I don't know, he needs to do something in our lives, you know. I will not say yes to just moving to a strange town with so many uncertainties if there's not something in my heart. To be honest, for me, I'm like, no, I'm going to stay there. My business is there. We already signed our lease for the next year. Like, I would rather stick with the comfort of, I've got an amazing, amazing family in the Lord there. I'm part of a church. My friends are there. I'll take that any day of just like going into the unknown. But there was something the Lord had in my heart, because for that to become a reality, that thing where I just said, like, the family I felt there was, the Lord did something in my heart there where I truly, for the first time in my life, really felt I belonged in God, but also to the people, the family, the household. Okay? There was such a deep, incredible gratefulness and thankfulness in my heart, and I found such purpose, I found such healing and freedom, I just really found such an incredible belonging there. Where my background was, I didn't feel I fit in, nothing worked like I shared. My performance, my best deeds, relationships, nothing made me feel that. Even in church before that, there wasn't a fully, I experienced that. There was a sense of that, but there was still, I didn't really, really felt, to be honest, I really belonged, if I have to be honest. And the moment the Lord put me in that small group of people, there were like 10 people, the moment I was with them and they loved me and they pulled me in and they walked with me, with my mistakes, with my brokenness, they encouraged me, they builded me up, they prayed for me, they corrected me when they saw something is not of God. I truly felt belonging. And I was so grateful that, like, Lord, this is from you. There's such a sincere belonging that in what the Lord did there, I believe it's one of the main reasons that the Lord said, okay, I'm sending you to Bethlehem. Because I know, because that's your heart, you will fight that other people. Because if it's from God, you don't want to keep it to yourself. Does it make sense? It's like, it's such a valuable thing. And I promise you, no money in this world can buy what I found there. No money. Because I know it was from the Lord. And in that, my heart was like, Lord, I just want this for everybody. Like, I wish everyone can experience what I felt. Like, it's so beautiful. It's so valuable. This was like this burden that just broke off my life. And I believe that's part of like one of the main reasons the Lord sent us. Because he's busy doing that here. And I hope some of you who've known us have felt something of that. And I'm reminded even of Sandile. Who went back to study. That was a last prayer at community. She prayed, Lord, I pray as I go that every single person who comes and joins this church will feel the acceptance and belonging and the love that I felt since I got here. And that hit me. I'm like, Lord, that is the prayer. That's my heart. More than the preaching or the worship. And it's all good things. But more than that, I'm like, Lord, may people that come here truly find belonging in you and belonging in the family that you've placed in me. Does that make sense? Okay, last scripture, and it's in 1 John 3 verse 1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. That is who we are. Maybe is Elric here? Did he go out? Okay, let me just stop here.